Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee on a de facto Fireball Hot Take Friday with the holiday tomorrow. And as I have said, after this week, all the Canadians that cover the NHL, all the Canadians that play in the NHL, all the Canadians that coach in the NHL, they leave. The season's over. Development camp's over. The draft's over. Free agency, for the most part, is over. And when it's over, they all go to their cottages. And that's what we are doing with Hockey Talk, is we are putting it at the cottage. Because training camp is 2 weeks away. And I say all of this just to say that I've been thinking about something that I do want to get off my chest. And that is something that I've been thinking about a lot. And there is a text into the text line that is just perfect to set this up. One texter in our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, you tell Cam Ward to get his head out of his rear end and prove it. And then Brady Martin, you give him credit for, because he's competitive. Which, I've never told Cam Ward to get his head out of his ass. I think it's a little presumptuous for him to have his own docu-series, but I never said, get your head out of your ass. But the reason I say this is because I think the angst and disappointment, and let me be frank, I was disappointed too, about the Predators' pick of Brady Martin over James Higgins has settled as far as the fans are concerned. It's been not forgiven, not forgotten, but they've just stopped crying about it, I think. But it hasn't changed the way Preds fans felt a week ago when the Predators shockingly picked Brady Martin because of that competitiveness over a James Higgins and over a Porter Martone. I still think that disappointment exists. And yet, I see almost no difference between the justification for Cam Ward and what the expectation for Cam Ward is going to be, and what the justification for Brady Martin and what the expectations for Brady Martin are going to be. And while the fan bases, the Preds fan base and the Titans fan base, are not a complete one-for-one overlap, I do think that there is a lot of overlap, and I do think they are pretty similar. I think there are a lot of Titans fans who are Predators fans. And I think there are a lot of Predators fans who are Titans fans. And yet, the reaction to the picks could not be more different. When it came to Cam Ward, going into the draft, when the Titans had the number one pick, Titans fans were depressed going into this draft with the number one pick because this was the wrong year to have the number one pick. Trevor Lawrence wasn't there. Caleb Williams wasn't there. Joe Burrow wasn't there. Andrew Luck wasn't there. There wasn't that slam dunk 1-1 quarterback. And there really wasn't a 1-2 quarterback where it's like, okay, which flavor of ice cream do you like better? And when it came to the Preds and the Preds situation and the Preds fans, I think Preds fans were depressed the night of the draft lottery when they got the 5th overall pick for a team that had aspirations of getting the 1st overall pick and had a record deserving of the 3rd overall pick. And yet, even though the draft process began with Titans fans depressed and with the general consensus being that none of the quarterbacks in this year's class were worthy of the number one pick, and Titans fans legitimately excited about trading the 1st pick and talks about Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, they convinced themselves that Cam Ward was the guy. They went from depressed and no quarterbacks in this draft to Cam Ward is the next Steve McNair, Jared. Cam Ward is the next Mahomes, Jared. They convinced themselves. The draft gurus didn't think it. Except, I guess, Lewis Riddick. But Mel Kiper Jr. sitting there saying, I mean, I'll tell you right now, J.J. McCarthy would have been the number one pick in this year's draft. None of the draft gurus said, oh, yeah, this kid Cam Ward, he's got superstar written all over him. He's got generational written all over him. He's got... They didn't say that. He wasn't an exceptional college player. There wasn't really any of that. And yet all I hear about is how great he is. He's a winner, Jared. Really? Because he didn't win the ACC. He didn't win the national championship. He didn't even get to the ACC championship game. He's a winner. He's competitive, Jared. He shows up at 5 in the morning. He's it. And then there's Brady Martin. And when it comes to Brady Martin, again, Predators fans were depressed at the onset of the draft season because the Predators essentially lost the draft lottery. The worst they could have picked was 5th, and they ended up picking 5th. Then there were some guys out there that Predators fans maybe got their hopes up that could one day become a number one center. And the Predators went totally off the board and they took Brady Martin. Again, they didn't take a guy who wasn't worthy of a top 10 pick. They didn't take a guy that the gurus didn't think should be taken in the first round. They took a guy who was probably viewed as the 7th, 8th, 10th best player in the draft, and they took him with the 5th pick. Cam Ward was viewed by as the 7th, 8th, 10th best player, 13th best player, 17th best player in the draft. They took him with the number one pick. And yet, on one hand, when it comes to Ward, Titans fans are already fitting him for a gold jacket. Titans fans say he's the next Steve McNair. They say he's the next Patrick Mahomes. And I've said, well, maybe they should sit him on the bench and develop him some. How dare you say that, Jared? Well, you do know that Mahomes and McNair sat on the bench. Yeah, but Cam Ward doesn't need to sit on the bench. He's Superman to this fan base. Nothing he does is wrong. He throws an interception, says it doesn't count. Everybody, ha, 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 ha. Fan base loves him. And that's fine. I mean, I hope he ends up being that dude. I don't think he's going to be that dude, but I hope he does. But again, Titans fans talk themselves from, oh, man, this is the wrong year to have the number one pick because the quarterbacks in this class aren't very good, to Cam Ward is the next Mahomes, but he's even better than Mahomes because unlike Mahomes, he doesn't need to sit on the bench. It's a little crazy. Predators kind of did the same thing. And what's the number one thing when it comes to Cam Ward that Titan fans are obsessed with? It's his competitiveness. It's the showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's the dedication. Cam Ward is not exceptionally big. He is not exceptionally athletic. He does not have a great arm. He is not an incredibly accurate quarterback. He wasn't a great college player. Wasn't any of that. But they love the story. They love the zero-star recruit that would not be stopped. And he'll show everybody. And again, I don't think the Titan fan base and the Predators fan base is an exact one-for-one fan base, where all the Titans fans are Predators fans and all the Predators fans are Titans fans. But I think there's a big overlap. And what's the big thing about Brady Martin's game? It's his competitiveness. This farm boy will stop at nothing. This kid Barry Trotz has compared to Bobby Clark, who is a 3-time MVP, 2-time cup-winning Hall of Famer. None of the gurus see him as that, just like none of the gurus thought that Cam Ward was some generational quarterback, with the exception of Lewis Riddick, who also thought the same thing about Shedeur Sanders. The gurus don't see it. At the beginning of the process, you didn't see it. But when your team drafted him because you want to believe that he's the guy in football, you believed he's the guy, Jared. In hockey, it's, oh, who cares if he's competitive? We need a number one center, Jared. Shouldn't you feel the exact same way about Cam Ward that you do about Brady Martin? Because guess what? I do. I feel the exact same way about Cam Ward as I do Brady Martin. My team drafted Cam Ward with the number one pick, and my team drafted Brady Martin with the number five pick. And I hope Cam Ward becomes a superstar quarterback. And I hope that the next time we're sitting here talking about who should be quarterback of the Titans, it's 2040. I really hope that. And I hope Brady Martin is the next Jonathan Taves, and you get 8 All-Star appearances and 3 Stanley Cups out of it, because this two-way center is so good and so competitive, and he's the greatest leader, and he leads this team to victory, and he's the next Bobby Clark. Again, 2 things that the Titans and the Predators really haven't had, which is one of the reasons they haven't had a lot of sustained success. They haven't truly had a franchise quarterback outside of McNair, and they haven't truly had a number one center. And so I hope this is what they both become, but I kind of feel the same about them getting there. The intangibles seem to be good enough. Now, I'm a little worried again about the vanity Cam Ward doing his own docuseries. Me and my team pitched our docuseries. Tubi took it. That does bother me. But all the extra storylines about the zero-star recruit or the farm boy or all, that doesn't, I don't, okay. They're competitive. They're dedicated. They're hardworking. They think they can do it. They're going to push themselves. That's great. You have to have that. Does Brady Martin have the talent? Does Cam Ward have the talent? Is Brady Martin going to have the coaching around him? Is this organization going to let him go to juniors and develop him the right way? And or are they going to say, all right, son, we drafted you 5th. Now you're going out there with Steven Stamkos and a coach we may fire in 3 weeks. Same with Cam Ward. Does he have the receivers to throw to? Does he have a head coach who knows what he's doing? I don't know. But to me, their strengths, their stories, the reason you took them are the same. The expectations are the same. The gurus don't see Cam as a franchise quarterback. Dane Brugler compared his ability level, his talent level, to that of a Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is not an elite quarterback in the NFL. The gurus think that Brady Martin is more of a number two center than he is a number one center. Your teams have said, no, no, no. We think he's a franchise quarterback. No, no, no. We think he's Bobby Clark. They're kind of the same guy. And yet one fan base is ready to send their guy to the Hall of Fame, and the other one's still disappointed that they drafted him. And I'm not sure I totally understand it. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of people want to get in on this, so that's exactly what we're going to do. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, 1025, 106 of the game.
You mentioned draft night, Brady Martin, and the mentality that he's going to bring to camp here. As we sit here on July 1st, how much of an open mind do you have about him coming in and challenging
I have an open mind. This young man, nothing would surprise me. This guy's in. He's got tons of confidence. I think he's a guy that pulls you into the fight. Someone was asking me, you know, who do you remind me of, and I sometimes I show my age, but he's got the Bobby Clark-ish type of mentality. You know, he's got more skill than you thought. He will hurt you. He'll pull guys into the fight. All those things that are that make you, you know, your team better when it matters. And he steps up when it matters. So, you know, he got a chance at training camp to step up. It was funny. He came in and he saw, Mike McCarron walk by, and he's like, I got to go against him. You know, yes, you do. And he goes, no problem. So I think you got to be excited. I think our fan base, you're going to love this kid. I know you are. I would bet my life on it.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz talking about Brady Martin. Again, the gurus do not see what you see when it comes to the Brady Martin pick, just like the Cam Ward pick. He's Mahomes, Jared. Really? Because Dane Brugler says he's Kyler Murray. And not only that, but they've got him as the 17th best player on the board. Corey Pronman in The Athletic, when the Predators picked Brady Martin, gave it a C+. Said, I've known Martin going in the top five was a possibility for weeks, but I've struggled to get around to the idea. He's a super likable person and player with great physicality and a very good talent base. I would not call him a dynamic offensive player, though. With average size, I just don't love this profile at five. Again, the gurus are saying, but the team's saying he's Bobby Clark, a two-time cup-winning, three-time Hall of Famer. Just like saying Cam Ward is Mahomes, Jared. It's the same. And yet Titan fans are obsessed. Like, they think anybody who says Cam Ward isn't Mahomes is crazy. Like, again, I think Cam Ward should sit for at least the first 2 weeks of the season so I can get the Denver defense and Jared Verse out of the way. And then if I have to stick him out there, stick him out there, Titans fans are like, how dare you? Where meanwhile, Predators fans, and I think it's arguably a lot of the same fan base, Predators fans are like, we passed on Porter, Martone, and James Higgins. Odd. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Derek is up next here on our program. Derek, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jared, I agree with you on a lot of your assessment of the position of both guys, but I would say the difference is Cam was the best quarterback in the draft, and he and the hockey player Martin, it was always people considered two other guys ahead of him in the pecking order. So when you passed on the guys that everybody heard were better than him, you get a different reaction. With Cam, everybody like, okay, everybody says he's number one guy. We're going to pick this guy first. He's number one guy. And we've seen some of Cam's work ethic. We haven't seen him in the game anything yet, but we've seen some of his work ethic. Now, when we get to training camp with the Martin, maybe we'll see something to be positive about him as well.
When have we seen some of Cam's work ethic?
I mean, OTAs, minicamp, we've heard reports of how hard he works, how, it gives people optimism. I know you don't like the sunshine pumping. I know you.
Did you not just hear what Barry said about Bobby Clark Jr.?
But we haven't seen him in training camp yet. We haven't seen him in preseason or anything like that at all. We only just heard of him. We haven't, gotten to. People had doubts about Cam, and then when they saw, oh, he's coming to, the building at 5 o'clock every day, and he's leaving at 5 o'clock every night, and it kind of gave you a little bit.
You didn't feel that way about Brady Martin not being at the draft because he had to go take care and feed the hogs on the farm?
Well, okay, to be totally honest with you, Jared, I'm not that much of a hockey guy. Really, most of what I know about hockey, I get from you. You seem to be well informed, and I kind of listen to you, and I listen to Vickett and them, a little bit. And, I'm a little more optimistic than most fans is when it comes to Martin. But, I ain't going to lie. When all the experts were saying that the other two guys were better than him and we passed on those guys, they were talking about how dynamic they were and everything, and how see just this guy is, it kind of gave everybody a pause. But with Cam, even though he's not the best prospect ever, he was the best guy available.
I think it is incredibly foolish. Thank you for the call, Derek. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I think some of this is, again, Cam Ward played in college, and we watch college football. We do not watch 17-year-olds play hockey in Canada. And we're not going to, and I don't watch it, and you shouldn't watch it either, unless you want to, and then go ahead and be my guest. So I think there is something to that. I think the other thing, too, is not only that, we knew for months they were going to take Cam Ward, so that allowed people to kind of cross the picket line. But more importantly, I think a lot of this, too, is about, well, Cam was the top quarterback in the draft, Jared. Right. But that doesn't matter in terms of winning and losing in football. Because one thing that I really struggled with when it came to the decision to draft Cam Ward was where he compared to other quarterbacks in the previous drafts. For instance, ESPN talked to all these former executives and had them rank the top five, the last five quarterback classes, and to rank them all as prospects coming out, not what they've done in the league, but as prospects coming out. and Trevor Lawrence was the number one guy. Now, we know Trevor Lawrence hasn't been the number one quarterback, but Trevor Lawrence was the number one prospect, and Caleb Williams was two, and Joe Burrow was three, and Jaden Daniels was four, and Cam was down there at the bottom behind Bo Nix. And people would say, well, but we don't care. We don't care where Cam Ward was ranked because he's the top quarterback in this draft. Doesn't matter where he's compared to J.J. McCarthy and compared to Drake May and compared to Bo Nix. Well, I actually disagree because if you traded the pick, you wouldn't have to draft a quarterback this year. You could draft a quarterback next year. You could sign a quarterback in the future. You could do something. But if you take Cam and he's not as good as Bo Nix, well, guess who you play week one? You're not playing Jackson Dart. You're not playing Shedeur Sanders and Tyler Shuck. You're playing Bo Nix. You're playing Matthew Stafford. So it's where does Cam compare to all these other quarterbacks? Where does Cam compare to C.J. Stroud? Now, you and I both know that when it comes to their comparison of draft prospects, Cam is not the same caliber that C.J. Stroud was. Well, you have to compete against C.J. Stroud every single week. Even if you're not playing him in that game that week, when you look at the standings, you want Houston to lose. Oh, they lost. That's good. You see what I'm saying? And just because the gurus say you're a good player doesn't mean you will be, and just because they say you're a bad player doesn't mean you will be, and we all know that when it comes to the draft. But I think just the idea of that's just telling yourself what you want to hear. Well, you know, we know Cam doesn't rank that high, but he's the best in this draft, so yay! I'm like, I so do not believe this. Text into the text line. I've heard from a good source. I've heard from a good source that the Predators told Brady Martin not to come to the draft because they wanted to make the big deal about him being a farm boy and create the story about him not wanting to be able to leave because he was too busy doing chores. But yet, he hadn't even been home. He had been in the OHL playing hockey. This was all a publicity stunt to make Nashville have a good feeling and a feel-good story instead of possibly picking the best player. Interesting. Yeah, I don't buy that. I think that is such bullcrap. One texter says, please tell me what's wrong with fans thinking that way. What does it hurt for fans to be overly excited? I'm not saying you can't be overly excited, but there's a difference between being excited and getting mad at me and say, he's Mahomes, Jared. And then when I say, okay, well, should you sit him on the bench? No. But how can you not sit him on the bench? How can you say he's Mahomes? Mahomes had to sit on the bench. Oh, but Jared, you don't understand. And that once you start having those intellectually dishonest points, then I just kind of roll my eyes and I say, okay, fine, whatever. Like, if you were to sit there and say, when it comes to Cam Ward, like, hey, I think that he has the ability to one day become Mahomes. And then I would say to you, okay, well, then should they put him on the bench? And you were to say to me, well, he did play 54 games in college, and he's 22 years old, or 24, whatever he is. So let's see where he is in the preseason. But I probably would be thinking to myself, you know, if the team's not good, maybe right around that Arizona, Vegas, Patriots, Colts stretch in the schedule where it's not the Denver Broncos with the defensive player of the year and the top 10 defense, and it's not the LA Rams with Jared Verse. You know, once we get past, yeah, maybe we do something like that. Then I'd say, okay, that's an intellectually honest point. But when you just say, he's Mahomes, should you sit him on the bench? No! Now you're just talking out of your ass. And that's where I struggle with. You know, when it comes to Brady Martin, what'd I say? I don't think he's going to be up this year. But I do think that maybe, hey, let's give him the 9 games and see if he can play if you want to. But if not, he probably ends up in juniors, and that's probably for the best. Instead of saying, hey, we picked you 5th, and, you know, you're our guy, so now you're playing next to Stamkos, and you better do well. But to me, they're roughly the same guys. 615-737-1025. This is kind of our final day of the hockey offseason. And so I have one big picture Predators question to ask. which we'll do next. Stillman and Company, 102.5. What is the issue of the game?
It was a hard year on all of us. And I know the players are a little embarrassed, as we all are. And, you know, we're just looking to improve. We're not putting expectations on us. I think it was fair or unfair last year, obviously coming in the year, and I think we wore that really heavy all year. And this year, I think we're going to have a chip on our shoulder, and we're out to prove people wrong. And sometimes if you can bottle that up, that could be a really deadly attribute to our group going forward.
Okay, that was Andrew Burnett talking about, hey, you know, we're going to be motivated this year. We're going to be motivated. And I don't know where I land on what I want or would be okay with happening next year. I mean, for Burnett's sake, like, if they're god-awful, he's got to go. I mean, that's just how it works. And so that's different than how I feel about what would happen for this upcoming season. I do wonder how the fans feel. Last year was just so bad. High expectations. Team comes out struggling out of the gate. Never really rights the ship. These massively long losing streaks. And they really were irrelevant for most of the year. Now, the Trotz interviews were hard to do from my standpoint every week, to ask him whether or not he was going to fire the coach, only to hear him say things like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, we just are going to get some of the young guys. So you'll see Ozzie Weisblatt this week. It's like, oh, okay, great. But big picture, if I could sit down with the entire Predators fan base right now and make a deal, a settlement out of court, if you will, and I said, you can get the number one overall pick in the draft, but you're going to be awful this upcoming season, I think they would take it. The problem is there is no guarantee, no matter how bad you are, that you're going to get the number one overall pick in a draft. And we all know the Predators, whether it's because of divine intervention or whether or not the lottery is rigged, the Predators, we all know in our hearts, they're never going to get the number one pick. But if you knew that a bad season meant the number one pick, you would take it. I know it. I'm speaking for everybody when I say that. If I said, hey, because the best the Predators can do is what? That they're all right, and last year was just a minor setback, and this team's going to be healthy, and Yossi's POTS diagnosis doesn't matter, and Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea all play together, and it all works out great, and what, they make it to the second round of the playoffs? Maybe. What's more likely is they make the playoffs and get bounced in six games against an okay team, like a Colorado. Well, I'd rather take the number one pick than that. But there are no guarantees either way. But I look at the Preds, and I did my top 10 prospects earlier today. And Brady Martin's number one, Tanner Mullendyke's number two. The third prospect on the list I have is Matthew Wood. Matthew Wood does not profile to be an impact first-line big boy forward. And to get an impact first-line big boy forward, you really do have to be picking in the top 10. Every now and then there's a guy that gets taken in the second round, or there's a David Pastrnak that gets taken at the end of the first round who becomes a super stud, but it's really not likely. And let's say Brady Martin is that guy, or Brady Martin is what Trotz really believes he is, and I don't want to get into the Bobby Clark thing because, again, Bobby Clark's going to the Hall of Fame. But let's say this unbelievably motivated, hardworking, intense number one center, you put the C on his chest. Jonathan Toews. Don't you need a Patrick Kane to go with him? Look at Edmonton. Edmonton has two high picks. Well, they got a lot of high picks, but they've got two superstars that they took high in the draft. Leon Draisaitl, number three, Connor McDavid, number one. Look at Florida. Alexander Barkov, number two. And Aaron Ekblad, number one. And don't even forget about Sam Bennett and the other Matthew Tkachuk high picks that are on that team. So when it comes to the Predators and this thing being a Stanley Cup contending team, I do feel like most of us are like, hey, you know, they're not going to be a cup contender, but I do want it to be better than it was last year. Like, I want it to be better than it was last year. And when we get to October and they drop the puck and I'm going to the games, like, aren't you going to want a season where you know by Christmas it's not over? Like, you at least want something to watch. Yes. But I'm very torn because the big picture would tell me, I think you're going to need another high pick. Colorado won the cup with their high picks. Nathan MacKinnon, number one. And Mikko Rantanen was a high pick in the 2015 draft. Although the Rantanen pick, you know, team screwed up swinging and missing on him. Right now, Vegas has three guys, Jack Eichel, Mitch Marner, and Noah Hanifin, that were all taken at the top of the same draft. So I'm kind of sitting here thinking to myself, would a horrible season be a bad thing? Would that just be a bad thing for this team, or is that what they really need? A bad season in the first pick, a bad season in the second pick, so that it's Brady Martin and Patrick Kane. And that, I don't know. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program. That's 615-737-1025. We'll hit a little potpourri. We'll do that coming up next. It's Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, let's hit a little potpourri here on the program. There was no TD Power Hour today, but a special edition of Talking with TD is coming up at the top of the hour. So you will hear TD break down the Titans coming up here at 5 o'clock. Okay, number one. I want to hit on this. Number one, Nikolaj Ehlers has signed a big contract. The winger, he was the top guy on the board out of Winnipeg. I've always liked Nikolaj Ehlers. I've never thought he was a huge difference maker. But a six-year, $51 million, I believe that's $8.5 million per year for Nikolaj Ehlers to go to the Canes. And I laughed my ass off when it came to his free agency out of Winnipeg, in which the two things he was looking for were, one, nicer weather, and two, a less intense environment. So take me somewhere that's a little bit warmer. Apparently he was considering the Capitals and the Hurricanes. And it's not as if North Carolina or D.C. are incredibly mild in the winter. It's not Florida or Dallas or Vegas, but it's definitely not Winnipeg. So I'll give him his credit there. Number two. I found this story fascinating, and I am not going to assume guilt, but apparently Cleveland Guardians right-hander Luis Ortiz is under investigation by Major League Baseball after a betting integrity firm flagged a pair of pitches that received unusual gambling activity. Sources from the betting integrity firm IC360 sent an alert in June regarding Ortiz, who apparently has been placed on the non-disciplinary paid leave through July 17th. Apparently, there were two pitches, a ball on June 15th against Seattle and a hit batsman on June 27th against St. Louis. In both the bottom of the second inning against the Mariners and the top of the third against the Cardinals, Ortiz threw a first-pitch slider that was well outside the strike zone. The alert on Ortiz's first pitches were flagged by bets in Ohio, New York, and New Jersey. Betting on the result of first pitches is offered by some sports books, with such wagers commonly referred to as micro bets. So basically what happened was a lot of people started betting that this would be a ball or that this would be a hit batsman, and it all came in three different states at one time on one pitch on two separate occasions. Kind of sounds like it's guilty.
Did you see the pitches?
I mean, were they just horrendous?
One of them is about 8 feet out of the zone. It was not even remotely close.
My guess is there's probably, again, guess, I don't know, probably some sort of connection where it's like, hey, on pitch 24. We're all going to bet on pitch 24. And on pitch 24, we want you to throw a ball. On pitch 24, we want you to hit the batter. That's my guess. Here's the rule I've got. And I don't care if gambling is legal. So is shooting yourself up with testosterone. But you can't do that and play baseball. I think the rule across all sports should be, if you bet on your sport, you're banned. If you bet on your sport, period, you're banned. Oh, well, that's not fair because betting's legal. I don't care. If you're involved in gambling at all in your sport, you're banned. Period. That's how it should be. And finally, Sophie Cunningham has made some headlines. The new flavor of the month in the WNBA, because she is A, hot, and B, protected Caitlin Clark, said when the WNBA announced expansion to Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Detroit, said maybe they should have asked the players about where to go. Instead, they put us in cities we don't want to be in. We'd like to be in Miami. We'd like to be in Nashville. And boy, people in Detroit got mad. People in Cleveland got mad. Tweets from people like Jamel Hill and Cavs owner Dan Gilbert admonishing Sophie Cunningham. You don't understand. Sophie Cunningham has since walked her comments back. This audio is not very good, but it's July 3rd and it's the WNBA, so bear with me.
Okay, first of all, I know the history behind the WNBA. I know that both of those cities have had teams before and they got us where we're at, so I'm thankful for that. All I was really getting at is like Broadway, the off-court lifestyle. And so I think that is really intriguing. I think Miami's intriguing. That's all I was getting at. I'm thankful for what they've done for our history of the sport. I think it'd be fun to kind of get some teams outside the NBA market. I do think there is benefit when you do have an NBA team, but that's all I was getting at. I think people totally misread that situation. I would never speak down upon middle-class, blue-collar working people. That's where I come from. I'm from Missouri. I get I'm in Indiana, and that's kind of why I'm hinting at Broadway sounds fun. Sophie in Miami sounds fun. All I was
Sophie in Nashville does sound fun. Wink. But let me say this. Don't walk those comments back, Sophie. I mean, do not walk them back. Yeah, if I agree with her. Hey, don't stick a microphone in my face and don't ask me what I think about those three cities because I don't want to go to Detroit either. Joe Rexroad is a Detroit lifer. He chose to move to Nashville. When these players hit free agency, does anybody ever say, boy, I'll tell you, I've always dreamed to play in Cleveland? The answer to that is no. And I know that people in Detroit take it very personal. And I know people in Cleveland get very upset when players like Joakim Noah crap on it. But the reality is, those places have to have good teams in order to draw players because there is no reason to want to be in Cleveland or no reason to want to be in Detroit as a professional athlete. It's the same as Stephen A. Smith ripping on Memphis. Hey, Memphis, you want a better reputation? Don't be mad at Stephen A. Smith. Make your city better. Sophie, don't feel the pressure. Don't let social media get you like you stand your ground. Again, I'm not mad Nashville didn't get a WNBA team. I don't know when it comes to the WNBA. I don't know if, the WNBA is a Caitlin Clark fad that's going to flame out in a couple of years, or if it's the next big thing. I couldn't tell you. All I can tell you is, Sophie Cunningham, you stand for what you believe in. You don't let those people talk down to you. And finally, with this being the holiday season, with this being Independence Day, I've really gotten into war documentaries of late. But the most important war might have been the Revolutionary War that made us a great country. We do a lot of bickering in this country. We do a lot of complaining. We have a lot of different ideology beliefs. But at the end of the day, whether or not I like who the president is or I like who you voted for or you like who I voted for or whatever, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if you're American, that's your hometown. So cheers to you, America. Everybody have a very safe and happy and exciting holiday weekend, and we will see you soon. Stillman & Company, a special edition of Talking with TD is next. Stillman & Company, order to five the game.